Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Hey everyone, it's Billy Morrison and Ozzy Osbourne here. Our new show, The Madhouse Chronicles, is dropping this April. Join us as we watch and react to the maddest internet clips. What do we discuss, Ozzy?
Drugs, rock and roll, aliens, all that kind of shit.
Drugs, rock and roll, aliens, and all that kinds of shit. Visit osbournemediahouse.com for early access. What do you say? Do you think it's the wildest show on the internet?
Oh.
You're in the madhouse now.
Welcome to the Major Spoilers Podcast, the podcast for pop culture and comic fans just like you. And I know what you're thinking, ladies and gentlemen. Stephen, why is this a best of week? Wouldn't last week had been a better week for a best of week? And you know what, dear listener? You're absolutely correct. So how did we end up with this week being a week where everyone is off? I don't know how to calendar correctly. When I was planning out last year's schedule, I wasn't paying attention that November, this week, was a fifth week. And when I got to the end of November, because it's my wife's birthday this week, and her birthday traditionally falls over the Thanksgiving holiday, I saw the date and I said, must be Thanksgiving week. I'll plan a best of episode and just move on. And it wasn't until last week when we were recording the Asterix episode that I was like, hey, wait a minute. And so here we are. But that's okay. We've got a lot of good things coming up for you next week when everyone is back and we're doing all the awesome things, because next week on the Major Spoilers Podcast, we've got Doc Savage. And then we have a Major Spoilers special presentation that'll run us through the rest of the year. And we will wrap up, or at least through the rest of December, and then at the end of December, because Lagnus demanded it, we will have a Life and Times of Scrooge McDuck. So this week we are doing a Thanksgiving episode from episode 952. Here's Thanksgiving, the Marvel way. So this week, we're only going to review two comics in our bigger, broader discussion, and they're both holiday themed. I thought, hey, how do people celebrate Thanksgiving in the comic books? We've seen how Marvel and DC both take on Christmas and Hanukkah and the New Year and occasionally Valentine's Day. But rarely do we get to see how the superheroes live and act and work during Thanksgiving. And so we open our discussion with Vision and the Scarlet Witch, number 6, from Englehart and Howell, Marvel Comics. This is, hey, let's invite all of our Avengers friends over to dinner. So we got Captain America. We've got Doctor Strange. What's another? Oh, Namor shows up.
The Wasp.
The Wasp is there. And then we've got, like, the next door neighbors.
Mm-hmm.
Are there?
Who are secretly somebody's jewel thieves, by the way. We don't know that yet, but they are.
And then, you know, like, somebody's acting coach or something is there. But because you've got some normies that are at this party, everybody's in their superhero costumes, right? So Scarlet Witch is running around preparing Thanksgiving dinner in her Scarlet Witch costume. Vision is there. Quicksilver is there in his costume. Captain America, so on and so forth. And then the knock at the door. And they open it up to discover some old white dude with white hair wearing a grandpa sweater comes in. Oh, sorry. I'm sorry. I'm late. Please forgive me. I forgot the address. And then everyone's shocked to discover that they invited an old man to Thanksgiving. This is supposed to be a dinner for young people, young heroes and their neighbors, not old people. And so everyone has this weird tiff over this old man showing up.
Well, in their defense, he does open with, men call me Magneto.
Oh, Magneto, Who would invite Magneto, who doesn't show up in his costume, by the way?
Yeah.
He doesn't have a costume at this point.
He's a villain. Villains don't show up in their costumes.
You said this was a costume party, but me, being the villain, will ignore those rules. Yeah, so Magneto shows up to dinner, obviously. For those of you who don't remember, Magneto is the father of Scarlet Witch and Quicksilver, and
we retconned and then unretconned of that. Yeah,
however it works.
Right after.
Yeah, so Scarlet Witch is pregnant, and apparently she called her dad just to have a conversation with him, and in the middle of the conversation, she's like, how could I not invite him to Thanksgiving? He was so interested in my child. And Vision's like, I don't know. And they all sit down and have a very tense Thanksgiving dinner. Do you guys have those Thanksgiving dinners where the black sheep of the family shows up and tries to make nice, but everybody is cold shouldering the person?
Are we literally all about to be like, I am the black sheep, Steve?
Yeah, because I know I am.
Well, I know I am. I can tell you that.
I am the
one that is anti-everything. Well, anti whatever my mom wants, so.
Yeah, we go to my sister's house. She's a nice woman with six children in a Pentecostal household, and we sit there, and the Widget and I pretty much don't say anything for about 3 hours, and then we hang with the family, and everything's fine.
Yeah, so imagine that uncomfortableness powered up to 25. And you've got superheroes who are doing, I wonder why is no one making an attempt to apprehend Magneto? I mean, you've got Doctor Strange is there. You've got Namor is there. You've got Vision. You've got Captain America. Surely one of these fine heroes would stand up and say, you are someone who has committed crimes against humanity. It is my duty, even on this day of Thanksgiving, to arrest you and put you into prison.
I'll tell you
to weigh in on that. Or
I mean, yeah, Rodrigo's going to go first. Rodrigo's going to go all first, right. But yeah,
I'll tell you why they don't do that, or why they shouldn't do that. This comic doesn't seem to acknowledge a little thing because everybody's really upset about Magneto being there. It's like, okay, do you guys have that page where like they're kind of doing the Last Supper?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Right. Okay. So out of that lineup, how many of those guys have not destroyed a city?
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Yeah. So, let he is without sin cast the first stone. Is that what you're saying?
Right. Absolutely. Crystal, part of the Inhumans. The Inhumans have definitely destroyed at least one city, right? Yeah. Scarlet
Namor
Witch and Quicksilver.
The entirety of New York City at one point.
Absolutely. Namor flooded New York City. Obviously, Quicksilver and the Scarlet Witch, part of the Brotherhood of Evil Mutants, you know, and I don't know, like the Vision's backstory keeps changing, but at some point he probably set a city on fire. It was probably a Nazi city, but still, it's like who here has not actually committed some sort of small genocide? And the answer is only Captain America.
Right.
So everybody
Wasp has not destroyed a city, but I'm pretty sure.
I mean, she's destroyed her marriage.
Would you like
Hank destroyed that
reason?
Marriage?
Because there is an in-universe reason why.
Okay, what is? Well, yeah, I am curious about what the in-universe reason is.
All right. So in X-Men number 150, Magneto killed a submarine filled with Russian soldiers or Navy men, whatever you call sailors.
Seamen.
He was brought to trial before the world court in X-Men number 200, gave himself up for trial, and was attacked by the children of Baron Strucker and chose not to free himself. He stopped the Fenris attack, chose not to free himself. The world court basically said, okay, you know, you're Magneto and you're evil, but we're going to give you a chance to clean up your act. So Professor Xavier had one of his periodic dead time frames, right? And asked Magneto, right, his oldest friend who was cleaning up his act, to be the new headmaster of the X-Men Academy and the New Mutants, giving him a new identity as Brian Xavier. So at this point in time, Magneto has actually been, he hasn't been cleared of his crimes, but he is basically on some sort of weird double secret probation where he is actually considered a hero. He's given up his plans of genociding everybody and basically trying to be a good guy. And then the secret wars happened where Magneto showed up and was actually a force with the heroes the whole time. Mm-hmm. So coming out of that, the heroes mostly trust Magneto. And so it's not until 1991 that he goes all full on genocide again. So this is in that there's about a 9-year window from about 82 to 91 where Magneto is at least an anti-hero and for a while wearing pink footy pajamas as the leader of the X-Men. Oh, so, yeah, that happened. I'm old.
Oh, okay.
You know,
because I was worried that they just forgot what everybody else had done.
No, I think you're right, though. If you look at the fact that Namor is there, if you look at the fact that Quicksilver and Wanda were villains, that, you know,
yeah, but
Crystal,
they go through a moment in the issue where they're like, yes, but you guys have all turned to the good side. And it's not clear, at least in my reading of this, that at this point Magneto has turned to the good side. He's just showing up going like, hey, look, today is Thanksgiving. I think we should put aside our differences and come together as family and have a Thanksgiving. That's how I read the issue. That was his attempt.
Great Steve Englehart, whiny, thought bubble dialogue.
Oh, yeah, most definitely. Mm-hmm.
My children don't love me and it's my own damn fault.
And then he goes and stomps outside and then only to discover that Toad and his toadies have arrived. To me, my Toad men.
Yeah, the Toad, by the way, had cosmic powers at this point.
Apparently, because he's created a whole clone of the Brotherhood of Evil Mutants.
Yeah, the Toad got taken to space by the Stranger and came back with cosmic powers. Not that anybody cares, I just thought I'd help.
And before that, he can attack the house and potentially put his lovely daughter in harm's way and her unborn baby, Quicksilver, Magneto, and Vision go out and take down Toad and his toadies. And then the issue ends because they all get taken up by a spaceship.
Yeah. Like what I like the most about this is not that suddenly there is action, because I feel like this comic doesn't need it. This comic is kind of fun in the whole, like, just a bunch of people wearing weird costumes trying to relate to each other. It's like, that's good. That's fine. The thing is like the three people that go out there are Magneto, Quicksilver, and the Vision, right? Wanda's father, brother, and husband. And I'm like, during this whole thing, I'm like, I've been on this car ride. Mm-hmm. Right?
Yep.
It's like, it's a family get together. Somebody's like, oh, we need some stuff from the store. And it's like, Rodrigo, you go get it. And then like, dad's like, oh, I'll go too. And then like, wife's or a sister's husband is like, oh, I'll go too. I need to pick this up. And it's like, you're in that car ride. And it's like, oh, what do we talk about? It's like, you know, we're trying to just cross from Westerville into Columbus, they're actually just fighting like weird space robots.
There you go.
But it is interesting to see that family aspect brought to the forefront, because this is issue 6 of 12 of a series where basically we're establishing Vision and the Scarlet Witch as just a normal married couple in the wilds of New Jersey. Mm. And we had an issue earlier where the Vision came to terms with Wonder Man. And he and Wonder Man are like, okay, we have the same brain patterns. That makes us essentially brothers. So this, you know, this weird orphaned girl from Simcaria or whatever, and this robot built out of the remains of another robot are slowly assembling a family, an extended family, because Quicksilver is there with his ex-wife and daughter. Wait, they may be married at this point. But Quicksilver is here with his wife and daughter. And her dad shows up. It's really kind of cool to see putting this together and saying, oh, yeah, 30 years of Avenger stories actually did, you know, make this weird little family.
Ashley, you've been mighty quiet during all of this. Are you just horrified and shocked over the events of this Thanksgiving dinner gone wrong? Or are you like totally down for this?
I was fairly horrified and shocked by the amount of harassment that Scarlet Witch received from pretty much every single man who was not her father, whether that be sexual or to comment about how crazy she is because she's pregnant and full of hormones. And then she has a scene where she talks about how fat she looks because she's pregnant. And then I read the Daredevil one and said, why did we read this? So it was a real roller coaster for me.
Oh, all right. So let's get to the Daredevil one, because many people may not know that one of the staples of Thanksgiving Day is the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade.
Yeah, Green Day has a song about it.
Daredevil 178 takes place in the middle of the Thanksgiving Day Parade. So while there's an awkward family moment going on across the river in New Jersey, Daredevil, Power Fist, and Iron Man are trying to track down some guy.
Now you're doing it on purpose.
No.
What?
Don't troll me.
What? Oh, Power Fist and Iron Man.
You know what you did. You know
Iron Fist and Power Man. Yeah. So Daredevil, Iron Fist, and Power Man are all trying to track down some guy that has the goods on the Kingpin or something. And they have to track him down through the Thanksgiving Day parade because he has some paper tickets or something that that they need for evidence. And meanwhile, Iron Fist and Power Man have been tasked with guarding Matt Murdock because some bad people showed up at his place, and Matt Murdock can't be Daredevil because he hasn't been outed yet as of issue 178. And mayhem ensues, and poor Tammy Lou is never going to be able to dance again at the end of the issue.
The would-be mayor of New York, a man named Randolph Cherry, is actually in the pocket of the Kingpin, which is what they're trying to keep from happening. They're trying to keep this Kingpin lackey from ending up as the mayor of New York, which is why the kid with the tickets.
Expose him.
Yeah.
And now 40 years later, the Kingpin is the mayor of New York.
Which just shows to go, yeah, there's nothing new in the world, Horatio.
Ashley, you were totally blown away by this one.
No, I didn't understand. Like, in the Vision in the Scarlet Witch, you know it's Thanksgiving in like the third or the fourth panel.
Oh, right.
So
right,
I was like reading this Daredevil issue, and like it's a fine issue. You know, that obviously happens in the middle of sort of a larger thing, but I was like, why am I reading? Like, I kept checking the email, trying to see if I got the number wrong. So you have to get to the end of the issue before you understand. Yeah. There was nothing that I was particularly horrified by in this issue, but most of my emotional experience was confusion.
Yeah. Cause I don't remember if Matthew was part of that show or not, but, Brian and Scroll Brian. And Rodrigo and I read through the entire Frank Miller omnibus in one of the very early Major Spoilers podcast episodes. And so I had already read this one. And so I was like, okay. And then I was at that same kind of crossroads as you were, Ashley, where I was like, wait a minute, what does this have to do with Thanksgiving? I was thinking like Foggy was going to invite everyone over for dinner or something. And then I was like, this makes no sense. And then we hit the Thanksgiving Day parade.
With his wife who body shames him and doesn't let him eat pizza?
Yeah, doesn't let him eat pizza. And so he has to steal it from Iron Fist and Power Man. And then we hit the Thanksgiving Day parade. And I was like, oh, yeah, now I remember. So I think technically we should have read this Daredevil first and then Vision and the Scarlet Witch second. But I don't know. That depends on how you guys celebrate your Thanksgivings. Because at least for me growing up, it was always you wake up, you watch the Thanksgiving Day parade, you start to watch some football, and then at halftime you sit down and eat your Thanksgiving dinner, and then you come back for the fourth quarter. I don't know
how
you guys.
Last few years, it's been the dog show. The Westchester dog show.
Oh, yeah. But I mean, Rodrigo, what about you? What do you do first? Eat your dinner, or do you watch the Thanksgiving Day parade, or do you even watch the Thanksgiving Day parade?
We don't usually watch the Thanksgiving Day Parade on account of like just solidly being millennials and not watching anything that's not on streaming.
Mm-hmm.
So we usually catch clips of it on YouTube afterwards. We have a tradition where somewhere around the beginning of Thanksgiving, we start watching the Lord of the Ring extended editions.
Yeah.
And so by the end of the festivities, it'll be like all three of them, and they're just playing in the background while we're eating dinner or whatever. And we've gotten into another tradition of just like buying a Thanksgiving meal, like prepared. Uh-huh. So we did barbecue last year, and I think we're just going to do barbecue again this year.
Ooh, that sounds good.
Yeah, it's like,
If I have my way this year, we're just going to do finger foods all day long, just graze all day long, where it's like, here's some chicken wings, here's some little meatballs and smokies and a cheese spread and a fruit spread. And I really would like to sit down with my youngest son, the sidekick. And I said, if we're staying home this year, because I'm always walking in on him watching Amphibia, I said, I want to sit down and watch the entire first season with you. And that's all we're going to do on Thanksgiving is do that and then go play this Marvel United game. And he's like, oh, man, you really want to watch the first season of Amphibia? And I was like, yeah. And he starts giggling like this is going to be the greatest thing in the world. So,
oh, nice.
Yeah, we're definitely, if we do Thanksgiving this way, it's definitely not going to have any Kermit the Frog balloons floating by. It's definitely not going to have an arch nemesis show up because Matthew said he was going to go to his sister's house. So yeah, it's just going to be a very non-traditional Thanksgiving for us. And Ashley, you're going to do family things with, being a new aunt and everything. So,
yeah, got to go see the baby.
Do you guys have any traditional Thanksgiving things?
No,
no,
okay. Not really.
Okay.
Thanksgiving is super boring and it's just dry, less good chicken. So no, we don't do anything exciting for Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Until Hasbro bought out the Power Rangers, we used to watch the part of the parade that debuted the next year's Power Rangers.
Oh, yeah.
Where you can see, now they're going to be doing Go Busters. So we would do that for a few years, but the last couple of years,
the weirdest thing,
didn't go anywhere last year.
The weirdest thing in this comic was just the ever-present Kermit the Frog balloon that was floating by. And I was like,
part of the comic.
I mean, it certainly it is, right? But I was like, is there a specific reason why Frank Miller chose Kermit the Frog? And I went and looked to see, was this like the year after Kermit the Frog debuted or whatever? Kermit the Frog balloon debuted in 1977. And this issue came out in what year? 82?
Something.
Yeah, so this was like Kermit the Frog, well-established flying balloon character. I think there was a Spider-Man balloon that was in the Macy's parade.
Not in 82. No, it debuted in the mid-80s.
This time? Oh, okay.
But you should also remember that Kermit's appearance here may have something to do with Marvel's sub-imprint of Star Comics, which actually didn't debut until 84, but would have been in the works at this point.
Oh, yeah. I don't know about
they
that.
They had Henson's comic book rights because they were doing things like Dark Crystal and they were doing, I don't think they did
those movie adaptations.
Rock. Yeah. Yeah. But it was one of those things where they tried and tried and tried to get a Muppets comic together. They ended up doing Muppet Babies, which actually the first issue of Muppet Babies has Kermit in a Superman costume and nearly got them all sued. But I wonder if it didn't have something to do with the Henson possible adaptations in the wings.
Man, that would be 2 years ahead. That would be way.
Well, this is Revlon corporate Marvel. They actually did work ahead at that time. So again, I don't know.
And also Frank Miller, I don't know, but I just thought
it might have been something he thought would be, I don't know, noticeable or who draws this?
I mean, it may have been Frank Miller.
Miller and Klaus Miller.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It may have also just been that Kermit the Frog is super recognizable. The Muppet Show is going on and that it was probably one of the more popular, floats in the parade. Plus, if you're thinking back again to color theory, Daredevil wears red, Kermit's green. There's a lot of contrast on that page. Then you also have to think, don't a lot of the villains in comics wear green, and doesn't Kermit wear green and
green and purple? Yeah.
I mean, Kermit is basically wearing the same outfit as the Vulture.
Yeah. and Kermit is also flying.
How dare you?
So yeah, I think we're starting to see our connection. So there you go, ladies and gentlemen. Two Thanksgiving comics for you. Ashley, what did you think about these?
I think they're both solid, but probably better served in the larger context of the stories that were going on at the time of their publication.
Yeah. And since you won't be here next week, do you have any Thanksgiving words of wisdom or wishes or whatever to share to our listeners all across the world, many of whom will not be celebrating Thanksgiving?
Well, regardless of what you're celebrating, I am thankful for each and every one of you. And consider, particularly if you are charitable with either your time or your funds, if you are living on occupied land, giving back to a foundation or an organizer who supports them. I live on Tongva and Chumash land in Los Angeles, and It's important to me to give back, so I would encourage other descendants of colonizers to do the same.
All right, there you go. Rodrigo, final thoughts on these two crazy holiday issues.
I agree that, so looking at it from the other's perspective, if you're reading these in the runs that they're at, I'm always floored when superhero comics, all of a sudden it's Christmas or all of a sudden it's Thanksgiving, right? Mm-hmm. Because almost always I'm reading them as trades, or even if I'm reading them as they come out, the run has become delayed or something. So it's not Christmas till February, right? It's like all of a sudden there's snow, even though there hasn't mm-hmm. been snow on the ground this whole time. So it was interesting to see these things out of context, to see that they are pretty much exactly as jarring as they are when they are in the thing. If you live in Seattle, I think the best organization is Real Rent Duwamish.
There you go. Matthew, what about you?
Honestly, the Englehart Howell 12-issue Vision and the Scarlet Witch Limited from 82-83 is a lost gem of the Marvel Universe. Each issue takes place in 1 month of real time over the space of a year. So you get this, the next issue is the Christmas issue. Earlier in the run, there's an April issue where they have to pay their taxes. And of course, they don't have any money coming in anymore, so they have to pay taxes on their previous year Avengers salary. And it really sets up some, occasionally soap opera, but some really sweet moments that, especially in 82, feel way out of place and bizarre. And if you get a chance to just sit down and read the series, I do recommend it. Because Richard Howell is one of those artists who, for some reason, everybody just looks like a guy that you know. So even when it's Captain America, it's just like Captain America, the guy who runs the tackle shop down by the highway. And as for Frank Miller, he drew comics and they exist. And that's all I'm going to say about Frank Miller due to the scarring from having to review Holy Terror. Mm-hmm.
These two issues are a very unique time capsule of a very specific period in history. And wow, are they a trip? If these came out before you were born, a lot of this is going to be a mystery to you. If they came out after you were born, this might be that nostalgia thing that you need to wrap yourself in this holiday season. But in any case, they're not horrible, right? The art is good. The writing is good in both of these. And I think that they'll hit a spot for somebody who is like, man, I wonder if there's any Thanksgiving comics out there. These two will certainly do that for you. And if you want to buy these, there is a link in the show notes that will take you to the Amazon affiliate page where you can buy the individual issues and add them to your digital Comixology library. It's not going to cost you anything extra. A little bit does come back our way. You can go and read these to your heart's content. And that's where we're going to wrap it up this week. Thank you so much for listening. Thank you for being part of the Major Spoilers experience.
That is correct. We want to hear your feedback. Tell us everything that you do for Thanksgiving and join the rest of the cool kids at the Major Spoilers Discord server to share your thoughts and reactions to the pumpkin pie.
Pumpkin pie is disgusting. Don't do that. Or even better, send us an email to podcast@majorspoilers.com. Give us your hot takes about pie, and you might hear your words in an upcoming episode.
Once I ate half a pecan pie, and it was pretty rough. Don't forget, you can support this show and everything we do by becoming a patron at patreon.com/majorspoilers.
I haven't had any pie yet this year. So I don't know what we're going to have this Thanksgiving. Maybe no pie at all. Maybe this will be a pieless Thanksgiving. You're going to have to wait and come back next week to find out more when we review a holiday tradition here at Major Spoilers. Why? Because we know that you love comics, and we do too. And we will talk with you soon.
Fat Dick's Ray Vision of Superman. I could save a few bucks and stand around and read through the covers of the comics on the stand. But although every other page would be backwards, I suppose, I could still read the evens and the odds. Well, I don't know. Guess I haven't thought this all the way through. Plus, as soon as the comic book store guy knew, they kicked my butt out on the corner. What a major spoiler. What a major spoiler. think about a better way. If I was hulking green or gray, I could just bust through that brick wall, take their comic books away. But then the little meat would deal with all the tanks and bombs and guns. Have you ever tried to read a series with all that going on? Guess I need to rethink this plan. How would I back and board my comics with such huge hands? Guess I already told ya what a major spoiler. What a major spoiler. Yeah, yeah, yeah. What a major spoiler. What a major spoiler. Start raving, rich like a man of iron. Might not be surprised to find that I might actually have the heart cold to follow an entire storyline. Would I really even need to read up on all those escapades? I mean, who needs such distractions when your sister's such a babe? But the downside is such a beast. Being shot up in a fun, being in the middle east with a king sign throwing soldier. What a major spoiler. What a major spoiler. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Major spoiler, whoa, 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 whoa. What a major spoiler.
This podcast is copyright 2021 by Major Spoilers Entertainment, LLC.
Botox Cosmetic, onabotulinum botulinum toxin A, FDA approved for over 20 years. So, talk to your specialist to see if Botox Cosmetic is right for you.
For full prescribing information, including boxed warning, visit BotoxCosmetic.com or call 877-351-0300.
Remember to ask for Botox Cosmetic by...
When you drive a vehicle so reliable it's backed by a 10-year, 100,000-mile limited warranty, you stop thinking about what you can't do and start doing what you never thought possible. Visit your local Kia dealer today to see what you're capable of in a vehicle that inspires confidence around every corner. Kia. Movement that inspires.
Call 800-333-4KIA for details. Always drive safely. Limited inventory available. Warranties include 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain and 5-year, 60,000-mile basic. Warranties are limited. See retailer for details.